Good morning, everyone. How are we doing today? Excellent. Glad you're all here. Super excited about the Lord's Day. Okay, so I had this communication. I had this really nice message, text message, all drawn up, put a lot of thought into it, sent it to my wife and said, "What do you think about this?" I have Facebook. I'm not on there too often, and I'm not like a big Facebook poster. You know, I don't have anything to say. I don't know what I would say. certainly not in the business of arguing with people online. So, I guess what I'll say to your face. And but the wife, she likes to post the little scripture verses and the occasional, you know, family. I don't even really see a lot of what she posts either. But I sent it to her assuming she was going to post it and didn't tell her to post it. But, you know, I mean, it was just my fault. But, I'm just kind of smiling today myself. I mean, communication is an interesting thing. But I love being married, you know. And I've ran into couples in my life, where they're completing each other's thoughts and, you know, the one's moving without the other one have to say anything. And it's like, you know, it's a great thing. And, we're still working on doing that. She's supposed to read my mind. I'm supposed to read hers. And I think we got about 20 more years together before that starts happening by my calculations. So, you know, keep hanging in there with me, honey. But the whole point was to give you a heads up, because today is, by my calculations, the fifth Sunday of the month. And you might be all peopled out. Your bank account might be all out. You know, I don't know. So you're not going to get any pressure from me. But it is the fifth Sunday of the month, and I am going to get you out of here early. I challenged you to consider the birth of Jesus last week, and the implications for him coming to earth and what that means, you know, from a sacrificing perspective last week. But I really like and want to carry on. The fifth Sunday of the month gets you out of here early, so you can take that time and, you know, maybe not just go take a nap. You know, you can do that later. But make plans with each other. Go to lunch, grab coffee, have people over. You know, and I think more important than any of that is if you can't do that today because your bank account's out and you're all peopled out, make plans for later. Use today and that time to make plans for later. Some of you guys are planners. I'm finding out really too late in life that I am not a planner. I'd rather just go along with the flow and be happy and not complain. That doesn't work for a lot of people. I'm, you know, really learning. So I tried to warn you, you know, really, and I didn't do so well at that. Now let's turn on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And if you saw the title of the message, you'll notice that this is something that I've brought up a couple times this month. And I'm going to bring it up again today, maybe in a slightly different light, but do it quickly, because I want us to consider this. Now, I've told you and confessed that really up to a couple years ago, I've kind of been a Grinch when it comes to Christmas most of my life. I hung up Christmas lights at my house. You should have seen my mom's jaw hit the floor when she pulled into the house. "You have lights?" You know, of course, she knows me really well. And, you know, Sam didn't have to ask. I just knew. So we did good that time. But, you know, if it was up to her, we would have had lights the last 8 years in a row, you know. But I'm the Grinch. So I've overcome that. Now, one thing I have always been is a huge fan of the new year. I mean, I just love the idea of starting something fresh, growing, getting better, challenging myself, challenging and being challenged by others. I live for it. I just absolutely love it. And although we get to do that each day as new creations, it is cool to use the new year to, you know, set some spiritual goals and to see what last year looked like spiritually, right? You know, have you grown in Christ? Are you more patient and kind and forgiving today than you were a year ago? What would you like to accomplish this year? Does this town need Jesus Christ? You know, how many people are we willing to talk to about the Lord and not just football? You know, set some spiritual goals and to reflect. You know, how many people did I talk to about auto racing this year? You know, 12. You know, how many people did I talk to about the Lord? None. Okay. You know, if Jesus were here on earth, I don't think he would just be practicing church for a couple hours on Sunday and then working a 9-to-5. What do you think? I'm not saying you can't do that. I'm saying if he were here on earth, he'd be working his 9-to-5 and he would be preaching the truth. Amen? That's what he did when he was here, man. I really challenge you. Next time you go through them Gospels, maybe namely John, and you read those, man, every place Jesus went, he was trying to teach them to understand spiritual truths. Like, in the world we live in, this world's physical. It doesn't understand the spiritual, which is why it doesn't understand its sin problem, okay? That's why it doesn't understand its position with God. You know, we got to be those people who are explaining the spiritual things in this town. So, I really like this time. And what I would maybe like us as a congregation to do, aside from praying, which hopefully we've been praying for each other every day and keep reminding us, and Jared does a good job of reminding us, is let's go out in the church and outside of the body and let's do our best to see Christ, everybody as Christ, and see how that changes how we interact with them. Maybe that makes us more patient, more kind, forgiving, okay? Really develop that attitude of service, you know, in our life. Because, you know, being a part of God's church isn't about going to church. You know, I would really like it if we could remove that vocabulary. We can't go to church, okay? We are the church, all right? And where we are gathered together, that is an assembly of the church, okay? So, you know, being a part of God's church is not about crushing a few hours on Sunday morning to make sure that, you know, God's still happy with you. It's living a life of serving other people. That's the law of Christ, which is somewhat comparable to the royal law, and I believe those to not be the same. And really understanding about living a life of service to the body, first to the brotherhood, the Bible says, the household of God, but also to others. Why would we serve people? Why did Jesus come performing miracles? Why did he do good things and serve people who were sinners? It was so that he could draw them to himself. And then when they said, "Where's the source of your generosity?" he pointed them to God. And he pointed them to the truth. And that's what we do as his people. If we can challenge ourselves not to see the person in front of us driving 25 and a 45 as an object of frustration, but as Christ. Okay? What if Jesus was really in the car in front of you going 25 and a 45? What would you assume? I would assume he's doing it for a good reason, wouldn't you? Why is it that we assume everybody's doing everything for a bad reason? Well, the mind kind of wants to do that, right? But if you see people as Christ, it doesn't mean that they're Jesus, but what does it do? It challenges your paradigm to maybe see it in a different light that you might not have seen it before. Now, I might be speaking for myself here, but I know the mind left on its own can default to the negative. Oh, it can complain and whine and only see what is bad. How about the guy that's going 55 in the 25 and just passed you on the road? You know, well, they're probably headed to the hospital because mama's about to have a baby. You know, well, you don't think that. You just think he's a jerk, you know. I think seeing people as Christ, which puts us in a position to maybe see the positive, but it also puts us in a mindset of serving, because if I walked in my house and Jesus was vacuuming the living room, I wouldn't go sit on the couch and say, good job. I'd probably go start sweeping the kitchen, you know. Is when we see people as Christ, maybe it might change our perspective a little bit and also encourage an attitude of service. And I think those things not only will strengthen the relationships that we have in the body, but will also be a light shining in this town, which desperately needs it. So that way, when people come to you, you can direct them to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 says, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Let's look at this from an inside the temple of God perspective, because the church is the temple of God. Amen? Okay. We are not to regard one another according to the flesh. Because anyone who is in Christ is a new creature. The old man has been cut off and removed, Colossians 2, and he has been buried and is dead and gone, Romans chapter 6. Okay. My ability to see you as a new creation is very important, because if I judge you according to the flesh, I can only judge you on your merit. And what will I be able to find? Mistakes. Same thing with me. But if I judge you according to the Spirit, which you are a new creation and dwelt with God's Spirit, I can see what you can become. And that is why you would tolerate people. That is how you work with people. Look, being a part of the church is not sitting here for a couple hours on Sunday. It is getting in the lives of other people and serving them. Did you do it this week? Or have you served yourself? Last month. Reflect. I'm not beating you up. I'm asking myself the same questions. What'd you do? Who'd you serve last year? Step one is identifying a need. That's probably one of the harder parts. It's not hard to pull leaves out of a gutter. Man, it's been a number of years now. I come home pulling the driveway. There's an entire family of the body of Christ on my roof, including the kids, pulling leaves out of my gutter. Can you believe the impact that's made on me to this day? And they know who they are. Unbelievable service. I just show up and there. Could you go home today after assembly and let's say the entire Miller family is on your roof just pulling leaves out and you never told them to. Would that make an impact on you? So I'm asking you, who did you serve this year? Or have you served yourself? Well, I went to assembly on Sunday. It's like, if Jesus were here, he wouldn't just be going to church. He'd start by saying, stop calling it church. You see, regarding one another according to the Spirit is being able to see what it is you can become. If you regard one another according to the flesh, you will find something to complain about. Seeing people as new creations is seeing what they can become. How important is that? Let's say one of your brothers fails you, maybe even directly, hurls an insult at you. How on earth can you find it to forgive? Well, hopefully that's who you are because you're a new creation. But your ability to forgive them and then to overcome that and then to give them a real shot the next time if they really are repentant is you believing they can overcome their shortcoming. The only way that's possible is if you see them as a new creation. That's why he says we are not to regard one another according to the flesh. Even though we knew Christ according to the flesh, thus we know him in this way no longer. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Matthew chapter 25. You know, you think about it. What condition were we in when Christ emptied himself and came to earth and died for the sins of the world. Is that the condition of men that Jesus died for? You see, Jesus isn't asking us to do anything that we haven't done, that he hasn't done himself. Jesus came down to a sinful earth and died for sinners because he saw what they could become. Didn't he? Look, in his own words, he said, "I did not come to judge the earth, but to save it." Because if Jesus comes to judge men in their present condition, he condemns the earth to hell. But he came to die, to save it, because he saw what they could become. And that's what we do with one another when we regard one another as new creations. Look, if we were to judge each other according to our merit today, I bet you could find something wrong with your brother or sister. And then hold it against them, which you shouldn't do. Why wouldn't you? Because you can see they have God's Spirit just like you. They can overcome just like you, regarding one another as Jesus in disguise. If you look at Matthew chapter 25, I don't want to read, you know, the whole thing, but you know, Jesus has explained to them that, you know, that they've done good things for him. You know, fed him when he was hungry, visited him when he was in prison, helped him when he was sick. And they said in verse 39, "When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you that the extent you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." So cool. That if you're standing on that roof serving one of your brethren, you've just served Christ as if you did it to him directly. Anybody interested in that this year? But it starts by changing the paradigm and how you look at people. Are they just frustratable and in your way, taking what it is that you want? Or are they new creations who can overcome their old man? They get to choose, right? And sometimes that's the hard part of Christianity, is sitting back and letting people make their choices. But you can control the one thing you control, which is you. You regard them as Christ, and you treat them that way. Should they show faith and repentance? I mean, people definitely sever themselves from the Lord. There's no doubt about that. Some people turn around and they practice sin, and they're unwilling to change. And the Bible says, remove them from the body, because it will spread as leaven spreads. But we're talking about people who are trying. People who are repentful and doing well. Trying to do well. It's like, man, is you did it to any of these brethren, even the least of them, it's the exact same thing as if you had done it to me. Galatians chapter 2. We'll hit this really quick because I already mentioned it. Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." Okay, now I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to change the pronouns. So this is not the Word of God. This is the Tool Revised 2024 version. But I want you to see this. Okay, the brethren, the people sitting to your left and to your right, even those who cannot assemble today, something preventing them from being here, and they're listening online, they have been crucified with Christ also. It is no longer they who live, the person sitting to your left or to your right, but Christ lives in them. You got the point? You got to have that picture, or you will not be able to forgive people. You will expect them to forgive you, but you will not be able to forgive them because you are not seeing them as Christ. It's a popular verse. "I've been crucified. It's not I who live, but Christ in me." And that's true for everybody else too, should they walk by faith. John chapter 13. A look, I really understand today, this morning, that the bank account might be empty. Don't feel like you got to turn around. You know, you're like, this was the first, the in-laws finally just left yesterday and you want me to show hospitality? Like, hey, okay. Hey, just, if today's not your day, just make plans for the future. That's all I'm asking. And I'm trying to, as I get you out of here early today, just say, I like reflection. Personally, I like setting spiritual goals. I would like this congregation to win as many people in this town for the Lord. How about you? You know, Kendall's reading he's actually quoting from the rest. He's reading from the Gospel of Matthew this morning. A king executed all of the children 2 years of age and younger. And I'm going to make you think about it for 10 seconds. Devastating. And I was like, they're still doing it today. And it's legal. How screwed up is this world? Man, it needs Jesus. And for some of them, the first Christ they're going to see is you. You got to be able to see what they can become. Isn't that the attitude that Jesus had? What if he just looked at the earth and he saw a bunch of sinners killing their children? Oh, that's what they are. Like, they're, he saw what they could become. And Jesus is the only one that can fix the condition of man's heart. We've got to point as many people in. It's got to start in Billings, brethren. If you've got contacts outside of town and in other countries, that's great. But our primary grounds are here. This is where we spend an overwhelming amount of our time, is in our own neighborhoods. Oh, this town needs Jesus. And I really think as a congregation, what could we do in the name of Christ and for His glory if we saw people as Christ and served them and brought them the light, and if it drew them in, show them the truth and direct them to Christ? John chapter 13, verse 34 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." You know, the congregation here does an excellent job. The brethren are always serving, many are sharing the truth with people who are willing to listen. They're helping each other. They're identifying needs and contributing to those needs. Brethren, I commend you. And the Bible also warns all bodies of believers, not just this one, to be careful that we never bite and devour one another. The opposite of that would be to love one another. And Jesus' teaching here is that when we love, it's our proof to the world that we belong to God by our love for one another. And it starts by seeing each other as new creations. If we don't see each other as new creations and we see each other as mere men, our assumption will be the thing that they're asking forgiveness from us, they're going to do again, and I know it. But that's not forgiveness. That's regarding one another according to the flesh. But our love is how all men will know that we are disciples of Christ. And when they see, and it's not like we build some church community and just love each other to death and then hope people come to the Lord. Like, it's who we are. And we treat everybody else that way too. Your neighbor, the mailman. Aren't you so thankful we still have mailmen? I think probably because that one's firmly embedded in our foundation of our country. But man, the drones and the AIs are going to be dropping off the mail anytime soon. You still have people in your neighborhood that you can talk to, that you can serve, that you can see, look, this person might not be in Christ today, but wouldn't you want them to be? Wouldn't you want them to share in that eternal reward in heaven? Can you see them as new creations, overcoming the things that plague them? You know, I don't know. I don't know if you work with people, and I don't mean like, you know, your job. I mean, like, have you ever worked with somebody overcome sin? Have you ever worked with somebody and led them to Christ? Have you ever worked with people to help them conflict resolution? Have you ever just talked to somebody? Have you ever just taken someone, again, I'm not talking inside, outside the body, I'm just talking, you ever just invited someone to coffee and just listened for 45 minutes? I'm not saying these things because I do them. I'm trying to paint a picture here. If you get people to open up at all, the majority of them are suffering. If you have been willing to sit down and listen to people long enough, the majority of people in this world are suffering. Could be a physical ailment. Could be a family dispute. A job situation. Majority of people are hanging on by a thread. Don't you want that mailman walking by that still has to muster the smile on their face? What if you actually got him or her sat down and listened to their story and you find out they're miserable? But they got to keep going to work because they got to pay the bills, right? But they're drinking themselves half to death the second they clock out. Does that person, don't you want that person to have Christ? You have to see that first, or you will never talk to them. You'll just see them as the mailman. Might not even get their name. Just want to encourage you this morning. Serve one another. Love one another. See each other as Christ. And see the world as Christ, you know, in 2025. And let's see what this church, with the lampstand of Jesus Christ firmly founded on, can do in his name to bring God glory. Amen? All right, let's stand. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much. You have laid such a great pattern in the Old Testament, one that was always pointing to Christ. But the other thing that we see is that the plan was for you to dwell among your people, to tabernacle among them. Thank you for your Spirit who indwells us. The fullness of God dwells in bodily form, the church. Thank you, God, that you are the helper. You have given us your Spirit so that we can be new creations, that we can follow you and imitate you. And let's embody that Spirit that you have given us, a spirit of servitude, to serve one another, and to show love and to serve others, shining our lights so that way we can direct them to you, the only one who can fix the heart of man. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.